We used to play in Chinatown, and he was just three families, the Suhus, the Louis, and ourselves, the new mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And of course, whoever used to enter Chinatown, like the Wu family who sold flowers. But we used to get a small paper bag and fill it with paper, mm-hmm. stuff it with paper, and then we'd tie a string around it, mm-hmm. and that was our ball. And that's the way we used to play ball in Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
And as Chinatown grew, they then had where they have the slot machines and everything. What did they have? Arcade centers.
Uh-huh. Arcade. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And, oh, that was terrible to have the arcade centers. We couldn't enter the visa. In those days, we thought that was gambling, to uh-huh. put pennies in the arcade machine. And then it became acceptable. Uh-huh. And so that became another entertainment for us. Uh-huh. And not that we had money. We knew all the machines and which one we could work for free or jiggle it to work
uh-huh,
for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you were talking about like the three families live inside the new Chinatown, which means that you have you live in this backup store
yeah.
again or upstairs.
The Suhu family, we everyone lived.
But how about yourself, your family?
We
at that time.
Well, we lived on College Street.
Uh huh.
It's College and Broadway. There's a commercial property, and right next door is now a parking lot, but that used to be a house there, two houses.
Uh-huh.
And we used to live there.
I see.
Then there used to be a two-story building right next to the gas station on,
uh-huh.
Between Hill and
that's
College.
Right. Uh-huh.
There used to be a two-story, and we lived there for a while.
I see.
But we were close enough to Chinatown, but there was room upstairs. Most everyone had living quarters. But we ate in Chinatown. I think most of the families, ate behind the restaurant, behind the stores.
The stores.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So like you go home and sleep, or in the evening,
mm-hmm.
in the morning you go to the store,
yeah,
go
day.
To school,
yeah.
Yeah, all day stay in the store,
yeah,
eating in the store.
Mm-hmm. So, uh-huh. Most everything was done at the store.
Uh-huh. So like your mother would prepare food at home or in
no,
the store?
No, we had a place in the store that was big enough to
uh-huh.
to have a table and cook and eat in there.
I see. So that the center of your life really is
was Chinatown.
In Chinatown.
That one street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We didn't go anywhere. We
uh-huh.
didn't we used to maybe occasionally walk down to Broadway, down Broadway to downtown,
mm-hmm.
like to 3rd and Broadway to the Million Dollar Theater,
mm-hmm.
and see a movie and then walk back.
Uh-huh.
But that was
who would take you to
my brothers?
Oh, your brothers?
Yeah, on a Saturday and Sunday,
uh-huh.
we would walk. I think, again, it was the Louis family.
Uh-huh. So it's not your parents would take you?
Oh, no.
Your mother?
No, they never. I don't remember them going at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they were just part of Chinatown, never left.
Never left it.
Yeah.
I see. So did they ever take you on vacation or something? In the early days, probably?
No, because
we didn't have business
and you didn't have the car or money or
mm-hmm.
to go anywhere. But the World's Fair, when was that? We did go to that. I think it was 38, 39?
Yeah, something. Yeah, I don't remember.
I went to that. San Francisco would be the only spot.
Uh-huh.
And we would, I remember maybe a couple of times then.
Uh-huh.
Maybe once with my dad. Because it was the World Fair.
I see. So actually, you probably would visit relatives or friends. Do you have any relatives?
Mm-mm. Mm.
Okay. So
we didn't have the new family. It was very small. There was no relatives. We didn't have any relatives.
So you're only one new family.
Just, that's it.
Yeah. Well, earlier you mentioned about you live in Marshall Street and later moved to Crocker Street. When was that? That was before you moved to New Chinatown.
Yeah, it was between 1934 to probably 1938, somewhere around. My brothers don't know exactly
uh-huh.
when we moved.
So do you know why you moved to Crocker's
Street? I think because of the Chinatown, we having to move out. I think we had to find another quarters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
so you start early to find a residence,
living
quarter first.
Before 1938.
Uh-huh.
Moved. Because we had to. I think we would have stayed there if we didn't
But the herb shop stayed there much longer than
No, 1960, well,
the same time you moved to Quaker Street, the store moved to Quaker Street, or?
Fairly close.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was wherever we find, probably we had to find housing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and as we were looking for housing, we were looking for a spot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So did your father's store actually move down to the Quaker Street area?
No. Everyone in Chinatown, either old Chinatown, either moved to New Chinatown or China City.
Uh-huh. So there's no time that the shop was
outside
of Chinatown.
Well, they couldn't afford it. There was no money.
Uh-huh.
I think for everyone, there was no money.
I see. So the Quaker Street was mainly residence for the families.
Mm-hmm.
And how many brothers, sisters do you have?
Four brothers and no sisters.
No sisters?
They're all older than me.
I see. Uh-huh. So... Like you will go to school at the same time. Your brother all went to a Catholic Chinese school, or you were the only one?
I think two of my brothers. But I think I was there. It seems as if I was more active than they were.
Uh-huh.
They were longer. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
We can find out from them. I don't remember.
Yeah, so we talk about the elementary school, and then we went to high school. How do you feel about being a Chinese? Central Junior High, you have more Chinese or...?
The same amount. I wouldn't remember to tell you the truth, but it was the same group going from junior grammar school to junior high school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very close, and it was like home, you know, going
mm-hmm.
from... we didn't feel strange.
How many of you as a group, approximately?
I wouldn't remember.
Uh-huh. It's like a big group. So.
Yeah, I think it was a good-sized group.
Mm-hmm.
It was partly us Chicanos, and white.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think there was any separation of ethnic. I almost felt like it was more like being at, like in Hawaii, you know, there's no separation. It was all sort of ethnic
mm-hmm.
group.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really feel that you were different from the other groups?
No.
Because
we were all a group that went from one spot, then all our brothers went, and, you know, the mm-hmm. friends went, and then our turn came. And we had a lot of Chinese activities, you know. We had this the Chinese activity, and they had the Cinco de Mayo,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I didn't feel any that
segregated.
We, no.
Uh-huh.
No.
How about in Castellar? It was also the same thing. Mm-hmm. You have Chinese and
Chicanos, and then not too many blacks, but Europeans like Italians and. Yugoslavian, yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, they were a mix, but we're all ethnic. I didn't think if they were, I was not aware of it.
Right, that's only the amount of children. You know, I mean, they wouldn't usually notice that.
No,
I guess that's a good part of it.
Yeah, very innocent. Yeah,
right.
When you grew up. Even in high school, I don't think I felt it either.
Uh-huh. And you said that you actually went to the Chinese school up to probably high school. Yeah.
Probably junior high school.
Yeah. When did you stop? I mean, how you stopped that, or
you
the
know,
school discontinued, or
you know, I don't remember.
You don't remember that.
But I know it continued. I think it was the time. There must have been a period that it was time to stop.
Uh-huh.
And I think it must be a period that when you got to this point, you didn't.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I remember. But I think it was probably junior high school was the last.
Apparently, you enjoy the Chinese school. You don't have any resentment, you know, for going to Chinese school.
We were not taught to have resentment.
Uh-huh.
We were taught not to know any different.
Uh-huh.
You know,
so even you probably didn't like to go at the beginning.
It was nothing to equate because everyone went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't in a society where we lived five blocks down or, you know, a mile away from this or a quarter of a mile. It was just host one street, and this one street did this, and everyone did this. It was nothing. We didn't understand like we do now that we had certain rights, and maybe we shouldn't be doing it because it's not important, or
mm-hmm.
maybe we should be doing this, or maybe I should be doing this. We did whatever the parents told us, and that was
everybody does this, and you it's natural that
it was
you would
natural
do.
To do.
Mm-hmm. So. That was good because.
Oh, it made it, yeah, because if you compare lifestyle now to then, maybe it seemed like hardship, but if you didn't know and that's all you had,
mm-hmm.
then you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are also mentioned that your parents emphasize on education. So even you were a girl, your parents always ask you to study hard, go to school and everything like that?
Oh, yeah, to do that, but only to the extent of just 2 years in college. You know, the training was to be obedient, not talk loud, not laugh loud, not ride the bicycle, not play like leapfrog, you know. We didn't do any of those things, but education was, at that time, you're only to be a clerk or a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose to be a secretary, and then you had a choice of legal or regular or a medical, and I chose to be a legal secretary.
Uh-huh.
Had 2 years of that, graduated, and then you're to work just a little bit and get married, and,
uh-huh,
I did it, and then raise a family.
I see.
That was my parents' concept.
Uh-huh. So you, again, you sort of follow the train.
Exactly,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think we all pretty much did that. I think there were other girls that may have done other things, but
most of the girls would do the same.
Yeah, we pretty much, at least from Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like, it's all, the model is already there, and you just follow that.
Yeah, that's it, and it wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. Maybe the other girls did.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably, for example, if you have college education, I mean, at least 2 years, then you already sort of on top of the other Chinese who came from China or the older generations. You have already more education
than like my mother,
people.
You're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So to women, they would think that they have enough.
Yeah, that would
happen. And then they already can find job outside of the,
yeah,
I mean, Chinatown business,
mm-hmm,
like in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the feeling, or you don't really feel anything?
You don't feel anything. I didn't. You think back, you say, God, what a dumb, you didn't know anything. But you know, it was just as well.
Uh-huh. So you went to, yeah, so you went to college, and then you took up the courses related to,
mm-hmm,
legal secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years did you have a chance to work?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. So a year, and where did you work?
Kennedy, and Kennedy was a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it was a Kennedy and Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a law firm on 4th,
uh-huh,
and Broadway.
Uh-huh. I see. How did you get that job?
I don't know. I don't remember. I think it was probably from college, City College.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we don't know how to go on the, I don't remember that, would have known how.
Mm-hmm.
But they supplied the jobs. I think, I think the teacher said, go for this interview, there's a job here, and I did.
Uh-huh. How did you feel about it? Suddenly you're leaving Chinatown, and you have to go to, of course, going to City College is already away from Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. And I was very active, you know, in a lot of activities and so forth. But I didn't feel it. I was very innocent. Didn't know discrimination, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lived a very protected lifestyle. And if it was there, I never noticed because I never looked for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was never taught to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't have a, maybe that was fortunate,
mm-hmm,
that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That I was Chinese and they were something different.
Uh-huh. And so
when I went to work there, I really don't remember them or myself feeling that I'm Chinese and applying for a job. I was new beginner applying for the job.
A little scary because you're a beginner.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was more of that,
uh-huh,
than the fact that I was a Chinese working for. I never felt.
Mm-hmm. That you are a Chinese and that you might not be able to accept it or something.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I guess because I worked in the movies and have a lot of that experience too. And then also in Chinatown, singing songs for Penny on the Street, selling flowers, and then working in the store, and it was always with Chinese. And when tourists come to Chinatown, it was a positive. See, they came.
Instead of you going out.
Yeah,
uh-huh,
yeah, see, they came. It was, the only bad time was during the World War II with the Japanese,
mm-hmm,
that occasionally we were mistaken for Japanese, and there were some bad words that, but I never related to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, that well, we were upset with the Japanese.
Uh-huh.
We always wore a little flag that showed that we were Chinese.
Uh-huh.
But when statements were made negative about a Japanese, I never felt it was against a yellow race,
mm-hmm.
or against a race, an ethnic race.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I always felt the same too,
mm-hmm.
but I've never felt discriminated against in that. Maybe I did. I don't have to give that some thought. my mind doesn't flow negative.
Right. So yeah, you always think of positively.
Yeah,
in a positive way.
And very
so.
Innocently too, because we didn't ask a lot of questions, and I don't believe there were discussions about discrimination. Now, it could have been with my brothers, and they, maybe the innuendos, they may have been more aware of than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and also the time period is a little bit different in
mm-hmm.
the earlier days. Oh, it might be
I
not
don't know,
true.
Because good question to ask my brother. I think they're straightforward. They'll tell you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so like talking back to, back to the college stage, you know, what kind of activities you had in college besides going to school?
See, the ethnic people, we always had dances, I remember. And then I remember we used to have conferences so that, you know, I think with other university and colleges, the Chinese, all of them used to get together and we'll meet.
In Los Angeles area?
Yeah, up and down the coast.
Uh-huh.
And we had our own Chinese club.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to, like, the beach. But in the early days, you didn't need a lot of activities. You know, like if you had one or two all year, that was a lot.
It was a lot. Most of the time, you probably study.
And of course, you know, the football games, and we participated in activities
mm-hmm.
at school.
Uh-huh. And I understand that you were the president of the Chinese students' clubs or something.
Yeah, forget.
You forgot.
I know I was very, very active.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was wondering, you know, being a woman, again, you know, if you didn't
mm-hmm.
feel that, but being a woman, you know, up there as a leader, how you feel about that?
Well,
and how did the other Chinese boy feel
about
that? Well,
see, we grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, you went from, you know, Chinatown to then grammar school and then junior high school and then high school and college. We were all really more of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And the trend had already started in high school
mm-hmm.
because in high school I was very, very, you know, I remember being president of the ladies and being vice president or something of the student body. It's interesting as I think back, I had gone, they were not really a strong person for president. I could have run for president, but I never thought that was my spot because
uh-huh.
when we looked at all the votes,
uh-huh.
it always left an impression on me, how come I got more votes than all the people that ran for president altogether? You know, but it never dawned me that. And as I think back and analyze things, not that I regret it, you know, that was very good and very comfortable. But I used to put on dances at school and very active like that. And they all knew me and all the guys. See, in China, I didn't date,
mm-hmm.
so the men were more my buddies. I was one of the guys rather than the female.
Mm-hmm.
Because we grew up there, and I was not allowed to date, so I was one of the boys, you know, going up. So it was a natural process when we got into high school that I would be very active, and they would not see any different nor myself.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I didn't have the image of being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like just aggressive, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, like being in
threatening,
the,
I
yeah,
guess.
Being
not.
The only, you know, girl in the family, and do you think somehow that you were influenced by your brothers or like the people you associate, the other children, like your brother's friends or something, rather than
mm-hmm.
you pick up your own friends, like girls, or were you always among boys, more or less, or you didn't really?
Well, with my own family, of course, but outside, you know, there were a lot of Chinese girls. We all hang around together.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of things together.
Uh-huh.
But it was always very innocent and very all together, you know. It's a little group that moved from one spot to the other.
Uh-huh.
And we knew each other so well. So other people that joined in became a part of us.
Uh-huh.
You know,
see.
This group. So I didn't feel uncomfortable with the boys, and I don't think they was me because we've been together for so long.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You see, it was no different.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned several times about your family's teaching like a girl is not supposed to do this and not supposed to do that. And so you just took it as
it's normal.
It's
yeah, because I had so many fathers in Chinatown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly men.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take, you know, their medicine to them, and everyone knew me in Chinatown, the owners, the waiters, and the storekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like their little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was well trained by all of them, including my own family and the people stopping in my store. So you sort of lived in a controlled situation, so you wouldn't know any difference.
Uh-huh. So like constantly they will tell you, not only your father or your mother will tell you not
mm-hmm.
to do this, or the other.
Uh-huh.
There
was a role that you play, and they watched that you played it right.
Did you, can you recall any instance that like you didn't play right and somebody come and correct you?
Oh, sure. I remember playing ball outside, you know, made with it. And I think I must have laughed too loud, but I remember either walking in or they came out and told me that I was laughing too loud. And be quiet. You know.
So it did happen, and those things are planted in your head very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You will never forget.
Yeah, and probably help because I'm in a very tough business.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I haven't lost my femininity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not aggressive, and a lot of people, you know, they expect me to be smoking a cigar or something. Yeah, so, and it could be from this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say that you were hindered by it, you know, because when you're living it, it was all right. So
mm-hmm.
why should I afterward regret it?
That's right. Uh-huh.
You see, many people live it and then they come out and they regret it. They
right.
should.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So long as you didn't experience anything bad, you weren't that unhappy.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you have very happy childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And
innocent childhood.
Innocent, always much happier than
yeah.
when you have to think too much about others. So then you graduate and you found a job for a year. Do you have only one job or during that year?
You know,
time
I have
period,
worked for, I think during summer I worked for Al Hing,
mm-hmm.
Hing Agency,
uh-huh.
Insurance.
Uh-huh.
For a little bit,
uh-huh.
and then, of course, then at the store, you know, worked all my life, you know, that way.
Uh-huh.
But that was it.
Uh-huh. So even like you were working, you still go back to store to help out this family
oh, yeah.
business. So all along, you have the experiences in helping in
the
store.
The family,
business,
yeah.
Family.
Yeah, that's right. I
uh-huh.
guess we did.
Uh-huh.
Until I got married, and then after I got married, I think maybe if they needed me, I think I worked on the weekend.
Ah,
when
I
was
see.
Busy in
see.
The evenings.
Uh-huh. How was the family business grew?
Well, it was just enough to keep the family going. You didn't get rich with the business like that.
Uh-huh.
And most of the Chinese that came over, they were more innkeeper shop owners, and that
mm-hmm.
was it.
Mm-hmm.
And they never thought to take that money and reinvest in something else. Or buy another store, or do a series of something.
Mm-hmm.
Our group of people, the original people that came from China, from China, didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was enough to put everyone through college and put food on the table,
mm-hmm.
and you know, clothing on our back,
mm-hmm.
and that was it.
That's a basic needs,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
if you can make that money, and I think your father. Just put the effort mostly into the community service.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I understand, your father also was always the arbitrator
oh,
for the
right.
community.
Yeah,
do you remember that part?
I just remember that something about the Tong Wars or
mm-hmm.
disagreements, and he used to arbitrate. And I remember once he going to San Francisco
mm-hmm.
to settle something, but
mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
I see. Probably your brother can also
yeah.
help us with that.
I'm surprised someone still remember that.
Yeah, because as I understand it, people said that Miu family is the only, your father was the only one that's not involving in other.
In the other associations, yeah.
Associations.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
He, of course, he's a well-respected person, so he has that kind of authority or ability of persuading people in certain ways.
I think so. Well, because he was very giving, you know, like with our store in Chinatown, everybody came by. He didn't overcharge. He didn't have any money. He didn't charge you.
Mm-hmm.
He
So how did you meet your husband?
Meet my husband, my ex-husband. Must have been in Chinatown. That's the only place to meet anyone.
I remember in the conference you say that he was the only, the first man you met and the first man you married.
That's right. That's, well, that's what he's supposed to be. He actually ever you get married. And he asked so quickly. I know thereafter there were several guys, well, how come you got married? So I was going to ask you later. And what would I know? I never dated. How would I know they were in? Because I was very much surprised that a couple had said that to me, you know. But...
So your mother never allowed you to date or just sort of not encouraging you.
No,
you're not
very,
supposed to.
Yeah, very, very sparsely, if that ever.
But how did they expect you... find the right guy?
I don't know. They probably didn't know either. They were probably going to send me a man from Hong Kong, you know, my picture. Yeah, it's interesting. I was never taught. I guess if I were going to do it over, I would get someone more similar to myself. But no, I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't have the two kids. Two boys that I have.
So you have two children.
Two boys.
Uh-huh.
27 and 29. Both of them graduated from UCLA.
Oh.
One was at Reber Hall. He was the, how do you call it, manager?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he still there now?
No. He's graduated, but he was...
Oh, you mean when he was
there? He was the floor. He took care of the floor.
Oh.
Or then he took care of, I don't know, but he was very much involved at Reber Hall.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one, then he attended Craig and went to Loyola Law School.
Uh-huh.
And... now he's finished and he's a lawyer. He's passed his bar.
I see.
Both of them work for me. So that's unusual.
Oh,
to,
nice.
Yeah, to have sons follow the mother's business.
Yes.
Usually it's so that's very unusual for Chinese, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because my tradition was so traditional.
Uh-huh.
And then to turn around and then have your sons work for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's the complete opposite of my training.
Right. Can we get into that, how you get involved, I mean, how you come out, you know, from, you said that, we didn't get, after you got married and you stay home.
Oh, that, after I got, yeah, just stayed home, I was supposed to that, and immediately had children, you know, and I had them 2 years apart. We lived with, not with my mother, but my mother had one house on Kensington. After we moved from Chinatown, we moved to Kensington, and we had one house and three little houses, so we lived in one of those little houses. We all lived there, you know, the family was, I guess the old Chinese tradition, like, everyone lived together or nearby.
Uh-huh.
And I had one son and then 2 years later had the other son and just stayed home and did housework, cleaned the house, washed his car, polished his shoes, took out the rubbish, mowed the lawn.
You did that more, huh?
Yeah, but see, that's what I thought was the natural thing to do. And then we moved out into our own home on Cloverdale. And I used to walk. We only had one car. You know, we didn't have a lot of money then. So I used to walk. It was about maybe four or five blocks to grammar school. I used to walk one son to kindergarten, walk back, and then walk the other one to, you know,
grammar
second in grammar school, and then came back, and then walk over there and pick up the other one, came back and walk over there and pick up the other. So it was on the road. My activity.
You're busy
was,
already
yeah.
enough.
And love to cook and sew, and you know, so it was all home life, you know, and plant flowers in the garden, and sew clothes and iron clothes and take care of the boys and participated fully with my boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why we're so close.
I see.
You know, used to play games with them. My whole life was totally around them and training them and being with them constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And never felt that there should be something special for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And so like you were pretty satisfied with where you were because the two boys and and staying home is no problem.
No, because that's what I was taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was well trained.
Mm-hmm.
So even if every other people was doing other things, it never occurred to me that it should be me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or make comparison. I never make comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never made comparison. So maybe that helped through that period, if it were to be bad.
But how kind, if you would have made comparison, what would the other girls do? I mean, most of the girls, Chinese girls, would probably do the same thing.
I think they're pretty similar, except they were more active. They went out more, I think, socially, as I remember now, because there were a lot of showers and weddings. My ex-husband didn't want to go, so I couldn't go.
Uh-huh.
I think our only activity was visiting his family. For there was always birthday parties, right?
Uh-huh.
For that, or two movies that he liked to see, like cowboy movies, or you know, cops and robbers, whatever. But it was fine. It didn't bother me.
So it's more or less, you know, follow his interests.
His interest and my kids' interest.
Uh-huh, I see. And you didn't mind it at all? You sort
no.
of follow them? And
no, because I think in a way that has developed where, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, your pleasure comes in giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the response from, and I see it more and more with my boys now,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that what I have done, the results are there.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, and if I did it any differently, I don't think it would be as rewarding now.
Right.
And while I was going through that period, I didn't know any difference, so I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.